Do you wanna find me? Yeah, I'm in the front row. Got my two tickets on me, I'm in the front row. The best place to be, I'm in the front row.
Best place to be, yeah.
Do you wanna find me? Yo, I'm in the front row. Got my two tickets on me, I'm in the front row. The best place to be, I'm in the front row.
Best place to be, yeah.
So what's colder than ice and even hotter than a flame? I be in the front row, chilling at a ball game.
Best views in sports. I'm here with Chris Rodriguez, Chris Rod, and Devin White, who's joining our podcast for the first time. Devin White is one of our new hosts, and we are up on iTunes as well as on our website, inthefrontrow.com. Welcome, guys.
What's going on?
Are you doing?
Hey.
Like, are you excited? Like, we won. The Lakers won.
It was a great game. I was just excited to see how they play like a team this whole summer league. Like, I was just surprised to see how they kept winning. And a lot of these other teams they were playing had a lot of talent, but I thought more talent, even the team tonight. The Blazers have a lot of good guys, a lot of high draft picks, guys that were great in college, but it just looked like the Lakers played as a team. And Kyle Kuzma, man, that guy's amazing right now.
I'm not
shocked
at all. Like, I'm not shocked because I did the research on Kyle, and he's a double-double guy. He had like 17 double-doubles in college in his last season, number one. Number two, he shot like over 60% of his three-pointers and, you know, roughly the same, maybe a little less of his field goals. And so his stats were up there. So I'm a firm believer that Luke Walton and staff did a lot of analysis on Kyle. They met him, they tried him out, and they're like, this guy can shoot. Like, why aren't we, you know, we're going to get him? And they got him.
Well, yeah, that was the one thing that people were hoping that the Lakers got coming into the season, because it seems like, you know, with Nick Young gone, Lou Williams gone, D'Angelo Russell gone, those are our primary three-point shooters and our best shooters. And Lakers are kind of left without, you know, perimeter players out there. But now that you see him, this small sample size of Kuzma showing that he can really shoot it, and, you know, Josh Hart, he's a really good shooter as well. It looks like Lakers might be onto something. I mean, it's obviously going to take another year or two, because, I mean, just when you think it didn't happen, they got even younger. So, but yeah, it looks like things are trending in a positive direction.
So, I mean, for me, you know, I cover the G League, and you cannot discount Travis Ware, Gabe York, Vander Blue. Alex Caruso. You just cannot discount the G League won that game. I mean,
and I think Caruso got signed, right, Des, to a 2-year deal?
Yeah, he has a 2-way. So we're going to be watching him.
Both ways, yeah. He did find a 2-way. And Ware, I've been watching him for a long time, since high school days and at UCLA. And he's always been a solid player, and he's doing what I've always seen him do, and it's just good to see him do it at the next level as well. Like, I think if he's given the chance, he can be a solid NBA player. I know he does well in the G League, but I think he's a good player, like you said. And then Gabe York, if he got more of a shot, I think he could have shown more if they would have just given him more of a chance. But like you said,
all those G League guys, they ball. Well, he closed out
that game
against Brooklyn. He closed that out.
Yeah,
Like, in the minutes he got, I agree with you, is what I'm saying. If you notice, it's a Pac-12 team, too. A lot of the Pac-12. So Judd Boichler, I never know how to say his name. The head coach, Arizona Wildcats. Miles Simon, assistant coach, Arizona Wildcats.
Wow.
They have the former G League coach, who's now assistant coach for the Lakers, Casey Owens, on the bench. They had Kobe Carl. Current G League South Bay Lakers coach on the bench. Don't think that Vander driving the basket is all Vander. That's Kobe going, get some points on the board, Vander. Do what you do. I mean, the reason that he was voted MVP of the G League was because all the other coaches voted for him, because that was the guy that scared the crap out of them when it came down the stretch, because they would win in the last seconds of the game.
Yeah.
Well, what makes this fun, though, now going into, you know, training camp in the next month or so, is that now the Lakers, when we thought we didn't have, you know, a lot of options, now it's like, well, where are we going to find the time for certain players? Because you see how good Kuzma's looked and how good he can shoot it. Is there going to be a lot of time for Larry Nance? I mean, because you already have Julius Randle at the power forward. Kuzma's certainly going to play power forward. Unless they slide Larry Nance up into the center position, backing up Brook Lopez. But, you know, who knows? Because look how good, you know, Zubac can play. So it's going to be fun seeing him compete for those final spots.
What else is there? Is there a center in Luke Walton's scheme?
Well, I think it's a 5-out, right?
No, I was going to say, I understand what you're saying, how he can go small. I even think if he wants to go small, I think Kuzma could play the five in Luke Walton's offense, how they like to spread the floor. So I don't see a problem with that. I think Luke Walton is good at the spread off, and I think he'll find a way to make all these guys work and make all these guys fit together. But that's what the Lakers need. They need competition. They need guys to not know that they're going to be playing for sure. The last couple of years, these young guys knew they were going to have to play. They knew they were going to get minutes, well, other than when Byron Scott was there. But after that, they weren't held accountable. So they know. And now all these positions are up for grabs. All these guys are going to have to fight for playing time. So I think it's a lot. And these G League guys are going to be pushing the regular guys in training camp. So they're going to have to bust it because these G League guys are trying to come up there and play too.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, and I think with the Lakers having a shortage of guards now that our three guards from last year are gone and we haven't necessarily replaced them yet, this gives guys like Vander Blue an opportunity because, you know, Shireen, me and you have seen him up close plenty of times in the D-League. And he's a really good offensive player. Sure, everyone could get better at defense, but his offense is unquestionably there. So, I mean, this is an opportunity for them. And, like, touching on
why
what you said,
they
Dev,
signing
like this,
him?
Well, I think if it's going to be any time, the time is now. You know,
Josh Maget. He's playing in the Drew League. We just saw him. I introduced him. Devin, you saw Josh, and he's got a two-way for Atlanta. You know.
I'm sure this is a year for Vander to kind of break through.
So. People keep talking about his tunnel vision, and all he does is drive the basket. I'm like, excuse me. I wrote a whole article on the Lake Show Life about all the assists, rebounds, hustle. And somebody was talking to me on Twitter tonight during the game about heart. And I contend that Larry Nance has a ton of heart, and he can't be the only one, right?
Yeah.
And Brandon Ingram has heart. He doesn't express it as much as Larry does.
Yeah, he's not very animated.
You can see it on his face. You can see it in, you know, he always goes for the layup and then slides into the basket. That's his signature move. It's like if he doesn't land on the floor, it's not a good layup.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But that's what I'm saying. I know he's pushing. He's trying to make the team. You know how Shireen, you've been covering him. You know how hungry he is. So that's why I say that's going to help. He's going to be pushing somebody for a job come training camp because he's right there. And I think this D-League, this summer league has kind of shown more people what he can do too. So even if he's not on the Lakers team, he might be on somebody else's radar. You never know.
Well, now Lakers don't have a backup.
What? Yeah.
At this moment, there is no backup point guard. We have Caldwell Pope and Clarkson at the two.
Magic and Pelinka, though, tonight said that they're looking for a veteran, I guess.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Magic said he wants someone to show Lonzo how to be an NBA player.
Lonzo's fine.
I think he would end up going with Jordan Clarkson, to be honest. Or not Jordan Clarkson, Jordan Farmer.
That wouldn't be bad. Opposed to that.
Yeah, because
is he coming
Farmer,
back
well,
to the NBA?
Well,
yeah,
I
heard
he started a little bit last year.
He's friends with Luke, right?
Yeah, you know, he won two chips with Luke, and I think he's good. Not too many guys right now are trying to take the mid-level exception of $4 million when there's a ton of money to be made out there. So I think Farmer will be the guy to sign maybe a one-year $4 million. And look, with Farmer, the way he can shoot it, he's always been a really good shooter.
Always.
If he's not anything else, and he has a pretty good IQ on the court. And, you know, he's played with, you know, Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol, who are first ballot Hall of Famers. He played under Phil Jackson, the greatest coach of all time. So he has a lot of wisdom to impart on Lonzo Ball. His talent might not be there, but his hustle, his work ethic. And the one thing about Farmer, he's a fiery guy. When he comes to play, he comes to beat you up. He doesn't come there to lay down for anybody.
Another Bruin.
So, yeah.
I think
that's
I think
go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was, I was going to say, I know how you said they might put Clarkson at the backup point guard. So I think, like, someone for them that could be a nice two-guard addition that would be low cost is a guy that's unsigned, is Aaron Aflalo, another Bruin I know.
Another Bruin.
He could be a guy that could, he could be another two-guard that they could sign for cheap, because I didn't realize he's unsigned right now. So
yeah, right?
He plays good defense. He can knock down an open jump shot. So I think he might be a good candidate to be someone that, if they want to decide to put Clarkson at the backup, at backup point, that they need a spot as a two, I think he might be a guy they might try to look at.
Well,
yeah, he's
definite. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I said he's a definite 3-and-D guy. But it's good because with Lonzo Ball, we now have coined the phrase. I think Shireen's going to coin the phrase tonight.
Yeah, we are.
The phrase is?
I don't know. Can we say it? Should we let them know?
Yeah, let's say it. We're coining it right now. This show is front row coining it.
Beware of dimes.
Beware
of dimes. Beware
of dimes.
That's Lonzo.
Every time Lonzo or anybody does, you know, maybe it's a Lakers thing. But yeah, Lonzo, beware of dime, hashtag.
Beware of
dime. And then you start tagging in the front row LA.
All right.
Yeah, we should be making shirts on that pretty soon and selling them in front of Staples Center.
We can talk to us. Come talk to us. We got you. Beware of dimes.
You know what? I'm looking it up. I mean, I looked it up. I think we can...
Yeah,
we'll
get it.
A
purple shirt with a gold lining, hashtag beware of dimes.
Beware of dimes. Yep.
But, I mean, to be serious, if people think that Vander only plays the one, they're wrong. Like, Josh played the one, Vander played the two.
Mm-hmm.
He was always there for the shot. And if you watch, when Lonzo was playing the one, he was playing the two. And Lonzo and Vander really got along. The chemistry was there. So, I mean, maybe he's not an NBA veteran, but I would say Vander commercial could teach, you know, Lonzo some stuff. Like, if you're not going to really win more than, what, 35, 40 games, maybe, 25, 30, then why not? Like, why do you need to bring somebody on for a year? If the chemistry's there, why not just dive in?
Well, I think the main thing is, you know, not to worry too much, I guess, because like me and Dad were talking about a couple days ago, it's no doubt that LeBron James has come to the Lakers. So, at this point, I think it's going to happen. I've never been a big LeBron
Kobe
fan.
In his twilight years with the injuries, they didn't learn.
Yeah,
Lakers
but you
aren't
know what?
LeBron
James. LeBron James has never been injured. He's
yeah,
30.
Happening.
He's only. Yeah, but he takes really good care of himself, and
okay.
You know part of the reason why LeBron won't break down the same way that Kobe did is because Kobe didn't rest ever, and then when he was hurt, he played through it. So I think that's going to be to the benefit because LeBron is now doing during the season taking 2-week hiatus in the middle of the season to rest up.
So the Houston Rockets are on for sale now. So do you think Chris Paul might leave Houston and join LeBron in the Lakers where he should have been all along?
I think Magic Johnson might buy the Rockets.
I thought that too. I thought maybe somebody big. You never know. Somebody big could come buy the Rockets.
He doesn't
somebody
have money like that, though. It's $2 billion.
No, I don't think Magic is. I don't think Magic is. I was just saying I think somebody big time might come and try to buy it or a group of investors might put some money together. And what if Yao Ming got a group together and came back and bought the Rockets?
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Would be good. I'm sure he knows. I know he owns some Chinese league teams. Maybe he could put a group in. I'm sure he could get the money together.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to do
Rockets.
Something. Yeah. I'd like to see
cool.
Seattle get a team and move that team to Seattle, but I guess he's like, he's not selling it unless somebody keeps the team in Houston.
This is the Clippers to Seattle at this point.
Oh, don't say that. The Clippers are going to be good this year.
I don't even think people remember the Clippers are still around now that Chris Paul left. Like, oh, yeah, they're still a team after the Lakers.
Well, I talked to Lou Williams this weekend at the Drew. You know, by the way, you mentioned three people. You said Nick's gone, Lou's on the Clippers. And you mentioned one other person. I'm like, they were all at the Drew this weekend. If you guys have not checked out the Drew League, it has stepped up since the NBA has, players have joined. And Lou Williams is excited about being a Clipper, but let me just tell you, he said that he didn't know how much the Laker fans really liked him until he was gone.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I loved him.
Yeah, he did.
On the Lakers, and I'm still hoping to get him back some way.
Yeah, he did say that. He said that now he gets all the love on Instagram and Twitter. They're always hitting him up now that he's gone, but he didn't realize it then.
Yeah, he didn't realize it.
Yeah, because Lakers fans are hard on their players when they're here, because we expect that's the curse of having Kobe Bryant here for 20 years, because everyone thinks you can't enjoy anything unless you win it. So,
yeah, well, and he kind of said that, you know, Laker fans, it's not easy, but that he, you know, since, but he's looking forward to the Clippers. But I had him reminiscing a little, and I think he kind of misses the Lakers.
I think he does, too. I'm hoping he finds his way back.
I think his issue was last year was he did too good. Luis Williams was balling too good. They started winning games, and they were like, no, we're trying to tank him. We need to get Lou Williams out of here. So I think that was his issue. He played too good last year when he was on the Lakers.
Well, Devin, you saw it. You were there. Weren't you there? He broke the
I saw the whole game. Yes, 50 points in his debut. Wow.
He broke the Drew Lee record for a debut, 50 points.
Well, if anybody can score it, it's him. Lou Williams can flat out score.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Swish. I mean, I didn't even get the stats. They're never really right on target, but I would say he was shooting 70%.
I couldn't believe it. Like, at one point, he got crazy hot. The crowd was into it, and the crowd was booing at one point if anybody else took a shot. But,
yeah, they didn't want anybody else to take a shot.
And then the other team was playing defense. They got a steal. They booed them. Like, they're not just going to let some guy shoot threes. Like, there's still a competition going on out here. So it was in the next game with Nick Young and Julius Randle. Julius Randle looked good, speaking to Lakers. He's made a big improvement. His body looks better. He looks like he's dedicated
dominant.
Himself in offseason. Yes.
He's dominant. He's rebounding. I saw him in the Drew last year. It's like, what happened to him? And this year, I was like, oh, my, remember I was standing under the basket going, what the heck? Like, what a beast. Like,
yes.
He's coming out. And you know what? He said something recently about, he threw shade at D'Lo, some kind of shade.
Uh-oh.
Something about sharing the ball, something. He's definitely not unhappy about it.
Oh, wow.
His wife and baby watching on.
Yeah, you know, he definitely didn't get that vibe that the guys were missing him. Especially when they were talking to some of the returning guys that were on the summer league team. Even Zubac, you know, mentioned, you know, that after a big game from Lonzo, and Zubac had a good game because of Lonzo's passing, that Zubac said, this is the way a point guard is supposed to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a direct shot. But my mind right now, guys, is still on Lou Williams. He's at the end of his contract this year, right?
I want him.
We could sign him back, right?
Oh, my God. You look at, you know, I stood next to him. You know, I'm short, right? And he's not towering. But
no, he's about
6'1", 6'2". He has a confidence and a presence about him. And he and Nick Young were jabbering. Like, Nick was with his son on the sideline, on the court side. And he and Nick were, like, jabbering for the first quarter, back and forth, kind of making fun of each other a little bit or whatever. But that's where you get the Drew League. You know, while playing the game, the players are talking to people on the sidelines, under the basket, the referees making jokes. I mean, and at one point, Nick got so mad because they weren't calling foul that he said, he's out of here. And he went to the locker room, and it freaked out everybody. Everybody was freaked out. Like,
yeah.
Julius, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, we were right there standing there. Nick Young, they kept calling foul after foul. The refs weren't that great. But finally, Nick Young said, you know what, I'm done with this. And he literally left the gym. I couldn't believe it.
He left the gym in the third quarter. He left.
Like, I'm out of here.
Then he miraculously showed up in the fourth. I'm like, what? I didn't ever see him come back.
He's not trying to get hurt right now, because he's on his way to a nice shiny ring.
He played hard. He did not play. He played hard, Chris. He played as hard as Randle did. Because this was a playoff berth, right? So
yeah, their team needed that win to make the playoffs.
Right, and they beat Baron Davis's team, who was on fire as well. And then Nick and Baron went at it, and Nick went into the stands. Like, you don't see that in the Drew League.
Yeah, they were really battling. There were some good battles. There were some. Those were some great games yesterday. Nick and Baron Davis were really battling at each other and going out back and forth, crossing each other over back and forth, and it was all love. They got heated a little bit, but it's all in love, and that's the Drew League. It's just the fun of it.
A lot of ISO ball,
like you said, a lot of ISO ball at the Drew League.
And we hung out with Patrick McCauley, who had played it, who played for BB4L, who won the whole thing last year. And Patrick was just having a ball with the whole thing, giving us the sideline reporter stuff.
Yeah, that was a great time where we were at. We had a good time there yesterday. Saw a lot of people, a lot of athletes, and some great games.
Now, okay, so did we want to talk about the Dodgers a little bit before we sign off?
Yeah, I got two words for you guys. Cody Bellinger.
Oh, my God, I love him. Youngest guy to hit the cycle, or third youngest guy to hit the cycle, or...
Yeah, and it's nice to see that he's not slowing down, not having a slump heading into the second half as the league adjusts to him. And I think this is finally going to be a year where we're going to see some fireworks with the Dodgers, where they're
going
to make a big run. I think they're getting to the World Series. I don't see a team right now that can beat them. They've won 9 in a row. I think they've won their last 26 of 29 games.
They seem to have chemistry too, which is that's what you need.
That
you can't win the World Series without chemistry. Cannot.
And I think the biggest surprise besides Bellinger is Puig coming back to life. Just when everyone thought Yasiel Puig was dead, you know, he's having a solid season. You know, 17 home runs, 40 RBIs. I mean, He's almost back to being – a lot of people don't realize Yasiel Puig had to reinvent himself because he had no college career. He had very little time in the minors. He came up. He was really good out the gate. The league adjusted to him. Then now you're seeing this guy who's never been around, never played too much pro baseball, and he has to learn how to make adjustments, and he has to do that all on the fly.
He's still learning English, but he's speaking
it now.
Yeah,
and I think now, you know, 4 years in, basically like a guy who gets signed, right? They usually play 2-3 years in the minor leagues after they played a couple of years in college. Like, and I think this
Correct.
Is what is going through. So that's we're starting to see his bounce back.
Yeah, remember how we talked about on our podcast last week, how I was saying I liked how he was receptive to when he went down to AAA last year, how he got demoted. And it's like when he went down there, he embraced that. He embraced being in the minors. He embraced being one of the guys. He wasn't one of those big leaguers that goes to the minors and thinks he's better than them. They said he was the one planning the parties. He was the one that got a party bus for the team. So I just think that he learned a lot of that. He learned, like, he wasn't down there pouting. He learned that, like, you know what, I can get better, and I can be a better teammate, maybe. So I think he learned that. Those are simple things you can learn, and he did learn that.
Well, and he's more their age, right?
Correct.
He's only 26 years old, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you said, we have to put it in perspective. Like you said, he came to a whole new country, got
fresh
all this money.
Fresh off the boat, literally off the boat. Like
off
the boat, not a ship, a boat.
Didn't know English, get all this money thrown at him, and the camera, the spotlight's in his face, and it's like, you got to put it in perspective. Like, man, that's a lot of pressure. And, like, at first he came, go ahead.
Yeah, no, he didn't end up on a boat drunk, drugs, and killing himself either.
Oh,
which his friend did, right?
Like the dude from the Marlins.
Yeah.
Fernandez, yeah, you're right. So
I mean, he almost did driving his car really fast, but I think
was in broad daylight, and he wasn't drunk, so.
I think Dave Roberts has done a world of good for him. Like you said, like father figure more. Hey, you're not performing, you're going down. You're going to make the best of it. He came back. Hitting that home run. Like, I love when he stares at the ball as it goes out. I don't even understand why everybody was so upset about that. I watched 5 highlights of home runs, and every single baseball player stared at the ball as it went out of the park. He stared maybe 2 seconds longer, and the other team just had a cow, and I don't get it.
Because he just has a reputation around the league of just being that guy that's immature and trying to – in baseball, a lot of it's like about respect. Like, they want you to show respect to the game and show respect. We know you hit a home run, but they don't want you to stand there. Like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. But I just know how baseball players think, and they just about respect the game. And Don't sit here
Ruth
and look at your own, bro.
To the outlet. Ruth pointed to the outfield and hit a ball. Like, isn't that the bravado that you want? You know?
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson stood on first base and was taunting the pitchers to. I mean, isn't that what you want? So people just got to chill out. Let him be him. Whatever he wants to do, I love it. You got to bring more interest to baseball, and I agree with you, Chris. You know, Puig just definitely brings baseball, and I didn't want him to go, so I'm really happy he's around. So.
Yeah, and it was good that they put him down at the eighth spot. They kind of took the pressure off of him. He's going to see better pitches down there. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's good to see him, kind of come back to life, and, everyone else is rolling. Kenny Jensen looks great. Clayton Kershaw still looks great. We've had surprise seasons from some players like Alex Wood, who looks unhittable this year. So, I just think they're in a prime position. And it looks like they're going to make a couple moves. There's some rumors out there that they might be trading for Andrew McCutchen, who's an MVP outfielder for the Pirates. Maybe even some pitchers at that. So, the only thing can get better from here, unless there's some catastrophic injury that happens in the next month or so. It looks like this is their year, and I don't see anyone slowing them down.
I just think it's the same thing, and I think the Dodgers they're going to need another pitcher. They need another good pitcher, another starting pitcher, I feel like, for them to really be a solid, let's make some noise and let's try to win this World Series. I just feel like they're still deficient. One starter down, they need one more. I don't think it's good enough at this point, and I just don't think they're good enough to take it all. I think the Washington Nationals, they got the Strasburg, they got Scherzer. I think that's a team that could probably compete with them in the playoffs with how well they're playing as well.
I think we can all agree that in L.A., things are on the upswing, except for maybe the Galaxy right now.
Definitely.
But as far as the Lakers upswing, seeing Joey Buss and the D League president or the South Bay Lakers president and Pelinka and Magic celebrating after the Summer League win, it just makes you get the warm fuzzies. League, and they got to play against the big boys next season. But it just gives you the warm. It was the prediction. It happened. Ball looked great. I'm a Ball fan now. Just let his father shut up, because now we're in the LaMelo and him can beat Shaq and Sharif. So it's like Arizona Wildcats against UCLA Bruins now. And shut up, Shaq and Sharif have beat the shit out of you. I'm sorry. So just go away.
Yeah.
LaMelo has the spotlight. Let LiAngelo have the spotlight. No one talks about LiAngelo either. I think he's a great player. I watched him play. I think he's going to be better than everybody thinks, but he's much bigger than LaMelo. So it's going to be interesting. All right, well, we got to do this more often, and I thank both of you for joining me. Any last thoughts?
Go Lakers, go Dodgers.
Okay, I agree with you.
Not much. Let's do this again. I liked it. Lakers won the league won the championship summer league. You're ready for training camp. Let's see what they can do next year.
And check out InTheFrontRow.com and InTheFrontRowLA on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And we're going to have some Drew League interviews. We're going to have Lou Williams. We're going to have Kirkpatrick McCauley, who plays on BB Pharrell. And we also interviewed
Elijah Sport from USC.
And he was playing with the big boys, and he looked like he can handle it. He basically told us he's not going to be in college next year.
he
flat out said, I'm not going to be playing with Tashaun Terry.
You're
going to hear stuff on our show you're not going to hear on anybody else's show. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
If you wanna find me, yeah, I'm in the front row. With my two tickets on me, I'm in the front row. It's the best place to be, I'm in the front row.
Best place to be, yeah.
If you wanna find me, yo, I'm in the front row. With my two tickets on me, I'm in the front row. It's the best place to be, I'm in the front row. So what's colder than ice and even hotter than a flame? I be in the front row, chilling at a ball game. Yeah, you know what they say, when you're having fun, time flies.